Picture a basketball arena where the home team is enduring one of the worst seasons in franchise history. Fans sit through blowout losses, watching their team stumble toward a franchise record 65 defeats. Yet, when the t-shirt cannon emerges, these same demoralized spectators transform into frenzied competitors, lunging over seats and shoving strangers for a promotional shirt they'd never buy in a store. This bizarre spectacle isn't just about sports. It's a window into how our brains make decisions. Dan Ariely's chocolate experiments perfectly capture this irrationality. When offered a premium Lindt truffle for 15 cents or a Hershey's Kiss for 1 cent, 75% of people chose the better deal. But when both dropped by just a penny, making the Kiss free and the truffle 14 cents, the results flipped dramatically. Suddenly, 69% grabbed the inferior chocolate simply because it cost nothing. The word free hijacks our rational thinking, creating what researchers call the zero price effect. We'll participate in tedious phone surveys for movie passes, choose high-interest credit cards with no annual fee, and drive across town to save $5 on a cheap item while ignoring the same savings on expensive purchases. Even wealthy athletes aren't immune, agreeing to promotional appearances for items they could easily afford. The emotional thrill of getting something for nothing overrides logic every time, which is exactly why that t-shirt cannon remains an effective marketing tool despite launching objectively worthless merchandise into the crowd. NFL quarterbacks aren't exceptionally handsome. When researchers had people rate player photos, quarterbacks scored lower in attractiveness than other positions. Yet those same photos rated highest for leadership qualities. We're remarkably skilled at reading leadership potential from faces, even unconsciously. This pattern extends broadly. Political candidates perceived as more competent from brief photo exposures won elections 67 to 72% of the time. CEO photos rated higher for leadership correlated with company success. The researchers' quarterback leadership ratings even predicted win-loss records and performance statistics. This creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. Children who look like leaders get more opportunities to practice leadership, reinforcing those traits. These snap judgments may contribute to racial disparities in quarterback demographics, as unconscious biases about what a leader looks like shape opportunities from childhood onward. Floyd Mayweather Jr., boxing's highest-earning athlete, remains obsessed with perceived disrespect. Before his 2013 bout as a 7-1 favorite with a $32 million purse, he ranted about critics. After winning decisively to reach 44-0, he complained again about being disrespected. Athletes across all sports routinely claim they're underestimated despite overwhelming evidence otherwise. Coaches exploit this psychology masterfully, rallying top-seeded teams with "no one believes in us." NBA player Matt Barnes promised to size a championship ring for his middle finger to thank all the people who doubted me. Psychologist Tony Greenwald calls this the totalitarian ego. Our self-perception operates like a propaganda machine, revising history to enhance our self-image. Athletes employ various false narratives. Rafael Nadal, despite multiple Grand Slam titles and a number one ranking, claims, "I've never believed that I am very good." This sandbagging keeps competitors sharp and alleviates pressure. Research shows tennis favorites are more likely to quit, citing injury after losing a first set, protecting their ego with a built-in excuse. These tactics extend beyond sports. Politicians sandbag before debates, and students self-handicap before exams, creating no-lose scenarios where failure has an excuse and success becomes more impressive. The term underdog might stem from dogfighting or shipbuilding, but it's become sports' essential archetype. From the 1980 Miracle on Ice to Buster Douglas toppling Mike Tyson. As Will Chamberlain observed, "Everybody pulls for David, nobody roots for Goliath." University of Richmond researchers found people rooted for animated circles struggling uphill. When Americans watched an obscure Israeli-Russian basketball game, they consistently supported whichever team was framed as underdog, even bridging geopolitical divides. Some 81% supported a generic underdog given no other information, though half switched allegiance when that underdog unexpectedly led 3-0. This seems counterintuitive. We typically boost self-esteem through winners, yet companies exploit this through underdog brand biographies. Nantucket Nectars touts only a blender and a dream, while Apple and Amazon emphasize garage origins. A University of Minnesota study revealed that when an impressive candidate spilled coffee, participants found him more likable. Competence with vulnerability proves most appealing. Despite professed love for underdogs, commitment wavers when money's involved. NFL home underdogs cover spreads 54% of the time, but receive only 40% of bets. The effect is a mile wide and an inch deep. Andy Roddick's coaching experience reveals a counterintuitive truth. Jimmy Connors, one of tennis's greatest players, offered only motivational cliches, while Larry Stefanke, a journeyman player, provided meticulous analysis. This illustrates the curse of expertise. The better someone is at a skill, the worse they often become at explaining it. Hall of Famer Bob Gibson failed as a pitching coach, offering simplistic advice like, just throw the damn ball over the damn plate. The 1976 California Angels, historically the worst hitting American League team, produced five future major league hitting coaches. Among 22 active MLB managers with playing experience, their collective batting stats fell well below league averages. This curse occurs because elite athletes develop specialized brain functions they can't articulate. They unconsciously process subtle visual cues without conscious awareness. Stanford researcher Pamela Hines demonstrated with Lego builders that experts literally perceive the world differently and struggle to understand the novice perspective. The lesson? Mastery and teaching are fundamentally different skills, and assuming excellence at one guarantees excellence at the other is a costly mistake. Zinedine Zidane's World Cup headbutt, Luis Suarez biting opponents, Richard Sherman's volcanic post-game rant after the 2013 NFC Championship. These moments reveal something profound about human nature. Sherman's, I'm the best corner in the game, tirade was particularly jarring, coming from an articulate Stanford graduate who later admitted, I look at that person and say, that's not me. Behavioral economists Dan Ariely and George Lowenstein explain this through hot versus cold states. Brain imaging shows arousal increases blood flow to emotion processing regions while decreasing flow to judgment areas, literally short-circuiting rational thinking. This explains catastrophic decisions like Tony Stewart's fatal 2014 incident when he struck 20-year-old Kevin Ward Jr. after Ward walked onto the track gesturing angrily at Stewart's approaching car. Though a grand jury declined to indict Stewart, the tragedy exemplifies how abandoning judgment in moments of anger leads to devastating consequences. The hothead athlete isn't an anomaly. They're revealing a universal human vulnerability. We all experience this state-dependent personality shift where decision-making radically changes when physiologically aroused. The difference is that most of us don't have our hot state decisions broadcast on national television. When we invest effort into something difficult, we unconsciously inflate its value to justify our suffering. Benjamin Franklin demonstrated this in 1737 by asking a political opponent to lend him a rare book. The favor caused his opponent to view Franklin more favorably. Stanford psychologists confirmed this through their embarrassment test experiment, where women who endured severe initiation rated a deliberately boring discussion group as more interesting. Their minds inflated the group's value to justify their experience. This explains loyalty to perpetually disappointing teams. When the Mets PR department used hashtag #IAmAMetsFanBecause, responses revealed painful self-awareness. I am an idiot. Endless suffering builds strong character. The IKEA effect shows we love what we suffer to achieve. Yet loyalty has a darker side. A Northeastern University study revealed how our moral compass bends to accommodate group affiliations. Participants who assigned themselves easier tasks while giving others tedious ones still rated their own fairness highly. When watching others make identical selfish choices, they judged them harshly, except when identified as teammates. We selectively remember negative behaviors from opposing fans while forgetting our own transgressions. When sports fandom turns tribal, consequences can be devastating. Brain scans show fans experience pleasure not only when their team succeeds, but equally when rivals fail. Pure Schadenfreude. Most troublingly, fans showing greatest pleasure at rival failures also report the most aggressive tendencies. Yet there's hope. When cognitively distracted, people's hypocrisy disappears. Learning about bias can reduce it, and confronting inconsistencies can change behavior. Understanding these psychological forces doesn't eliminate them, but awareness is the first step toward making more conscious, ethical choices in sports, in work, and in life. Your brain on sports is simply your brain revealing itself.